church is this. The devil likes to cause confusion when God is blessing. So when God saw a blessing, that's when it's time to watch and pray. And we saw that we have not yet seen the greatness of what God is going to do. So it's so important that we put our personal idiosyncrasies aside. And somebody said, who's on the Lord's side? Being on the Lord's side, that means we have to take a back seat to self. Take a back seat to self. So tonight, we thank God for my wife, we thank God for all of you. And I want to really finish up what we did Sunday, but how many know the Lord always speaks, you know? And there's just some things when God is, I know for me in particular, when God is leading me in a certain direction, things just going over and over and over, and then I can't rest, so I look it up to find out. You know, what is it? The Lord keeps saying back to Hezekiah. Right? So, and I mentioned it last week, but we really didn't get into it. So, if we can just stand for a minute, we'll go to 2 Kings again, back to Hezekiah, and we're going to read chapter 18, we're going to read verses 5 through 7 together. And the part we're going to focus our attention on tonight is cleaving to the Lord and being faithful. Cleaving to God and being faithful. How long be faithful? Until the end. So tonight we're dealing with being faithful until the end. And I know probably most of us know this by heart, but we're going to read it anyway. Because the Lord keeps echoing the part about cleaving to God, trusting in God. And our message on Sunday was what? God will bless you if you what? Follow Him. God will bless you, but you have to follow Him. A lot of us want God to bless us, but we want God to bless us on our own terms and doing things our way. So let's read 2 Kings 18, verses 5 through 7. You know, God keeps taking me back to the same thing, so it has to be for a reason. Right? Because God is not just extemporaneous, impromptu God that just does things to all men. But He does it for a reason, amen? So verse 5, if we have a verse 5, read, He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that, yes, every time I read this, what kind of trust do you make? He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were, and he had this distinction. Amen. Of all the other kings, now all the kings were close to God, but the scripture said, for he played. Now, you don't read that about any of them, even King David. You don't read that he clave to the Lord. Once we said, we'll go over that a little later. Clave to the Lord and departed not from him. So that means he was steadfast. He did not stop following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And because he what? Followed the Lord what? Was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and he trusted God so much, even though the king of Assyria was in charge of everything. He said, I'm not going to honor you above especially in Psalms. I want to go back to the whole Psalm 143, because we went over the part when David said, Lord, teach me to do thy will. Right? But before he asked God to teach him to do his will, he tells God about all the trouble that he had. Right? All the rules, you read that he had this with him. And people he thought he had confidence in, he couldn't trust. But he said, Lord, just teach me to do thy will. Amen. But Hezekiah had a different kind of spiritual distinction. He trusted God like no other. Right? There were a lot of great kings in Israel. Solomon, David, amen, Asa, Jehoshaphat. But they had no comparison to Hezekiah. means to hold on to it like glue. It means to cling to God. It means to be to God that nothing can what? Separate us. And then clinging to God, that is a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship with God. Hezekiah refused to allow anything to break that covenant relationship. Now, the king of Assyria had destroyed all nations. Now, remember after Solomon that Judah became the southern nation with Benjamin, and Israel was a northern nation, and they were in Samaria. The king of Assyria, Sennacherib, had went in, and he had completely annihilated Israel, and then assimilated them and spread them through all the land, and they trusted God. So when Sennacherib came to Hezekiah and Judah, he said, wait a minute, I've destroyed all nations. He said, who is this God that you are trusting in? Or who Hezekiah have you trusted in to make you think you can escape out of my hands? And the Bible said, Hezekiah, even though he knew he was greatly outnumbered, and you can read about this in your spare time, I need some homework. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 32. He knew he was greatly outnumbered, but he went to God and he prayed. He said, Lord, there's nothing with you to help by the few or by many. He said, Lord, they have far outnumbered us. They exceed us in power. They exceed us in might. He said, but the battle is not ours. The battle is, he said, so I trust you. And you remember, if you go back and read about it, I believe it's in the 20th chapter of 2 Kings, it said that when the Lord began to fight, in one night, the Lord slew 185,000. That's where God is fighting your battles. Yes. They were outnumbered. 185,000 he slew in one night. Who did it? God did it. The Bible says he sent an angel of the Lord out and killed the 185,000. So when they woke up the next morning, there were dead corpses everywhere. Israel didn't do anything, but they trusted God because of the words of Hezekiah. Amen. It is so much power in our prayer if we believe God. The scripture says in Mark 11, the 24th chapter, therefore when ye pray, therefore when ye pray, he said, what things soever you desire when ye pray. I know some of you will be technically correct, so let me get it right. Therefore, what things soever you desire when ye pray. Amen. But you got to pray. He said, believe ye, receive them, and ye shall have them. What's another thing? Are there limitations to that?
No.
He said, what? So that means that what you speak, if you are faithful to God, God will honor it. Amen? So Hezekiah had this distinction. He followed, he went off. Even though Assyria and the kings, he had every nation he destroyed. But when God is fighting your battle, amen, they that are with you are more than they that are against you. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Now we're dealing tonight with being faithful until the end. Jesus in his discourse in Matthew 24 chapter said, he that endureth until the end shall be saved. It's not how you start it off, but it's more toward how you finish up. So to be faithful means it's a constant. It's not part-time.
Amen.
How many know we're not part-time Christians?
Amen.
How many know we don't have a part-time salvation?
Amen.
All right, but before I didn't finish up day box, can I go back to day box for a minute? It means complete to. It's a relationship. And the relationship is like that between a husband and a wife. When the husband and wife, he said, male and female they were, he said, when they twain shall become
one.
Our relationship with God is just like a husband and wife. We're supposed to be
one.
Right? We're supposed to be one, no longer two, but one. Amen. Hebrews 3:7 reads, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if ye listen, not tomorrow, but what? If you know you can give God God's voice. What I love about God is God is always reaching out to us. He said, today, if you hear his voice, don't run your heart. Don't put up a wall. Amen. Don't resist God's will or counsel. As in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works,
40 years.
They saw for 40 years and still didn't repent. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their minds, always err in their thinking. They do always err when? Amen. Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They do always live in their heart and have not. How could God deliver you? You see God move miraculously. Depart, depart the Red Sea. All those dead bodies in Egypt and not one dead in Israel. He gives them water out of a rock. He gives them manna. He gives them quail. He's a cloud of fire by night and a pillar. He's a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. You saw all of that, and you still don't believe. That's something, right? He said, "You've seen all that, and you still don't know my." Just think of the good things and the miracles that God has performed in our lives.
Yes.
And just think about it. Right. The one that somebody said, "When I think." When I just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, come into my soul, cry out, hallelujah, and I thank God. What are you doing? I'm just thinking about it.
Amen.
He said, they do always in their heart, they have not known my ways. Listen, let God be God and stop trying to fight him. So I swear by wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you in
evil heart.
Evil heart of what? Believe God to the end. Don't get to the point that, like Israel, they saw all that God did and they still did not
believe.
How can you see God perform these miracles and not believe? An evil heart of unbelief in what? Departing from the living God. Don't stop off whatever happens. Don't you leave God.
Yeah.
Amen. Stay with God and he will work it out. But exhort one another daily while it is called. He said, what should you do to one another?
Exhort
means to encourage. It means to build up. It don't mean to tear. Right? You're supposed to exhort one another. When? Today and daily. Don't let the devil use you to be confused, all right? While it's called today, lest any of you be hard to the sin deceives. You think you're all right, but it deceives you. Anytime you do anything contrary to God, that is deception. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, Isaiah writes to them, he said, your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And he won't even hear your prayer because you are now separated. Sin deceives. Sin makes you think that God is always careful of the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made. How many want to be a partaker? I didn't get saved to be lost. I got saved to be with Christ. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the what? How did you start? Did you start off believing God? Did you start off in faith? Did you start off trusting God? If you hold the beginning of your we can be saved. We can't allow our tests, our trials, to make us doubt God. So we have to hold the beginning of our confidence how?
Steadfast
until the end. and light
darkness.
God is not interested in deception. God wants us to be faithful. Job the 17th chapter. Let's go there. So we're dealing with a relationship with God. And our relationship with God has to be unbreakable.
Amen.
Under any circumstance. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 6 of Job 17 reads, He has made me also a byword of the people, and aforetime I was a tattler. Job was saying, aforetime, some of these words, Hebrew, aforetime means faint. Tattered means spit. Alright, if you look it up, I'll help you all out. It means to spit in his face. Job said, I remember where I was at and how God had blessed me. Now, I'm to the point that even my common friends, they are spitting in my face. He said, my eye also is dim by reason of sorrow. And all my members are in a, Job said, I am going through. Right? But you still got to be faithful. Upright men shall be astonished. He said, when people look at me, they're shocked at the condition that I'm in. Amen. So Job is evaluating his own situation. He said, our situation is bad. Anybody feel like the situation is bad? He said, in an instant, innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. But he said, the one thing I know about God is that the right
shall.
I want to be faithful. Right? He said, yes, I've been going through. But the righteous shall hold on to his way. And he that had clean hand shall grow
stronger
and stronger. You know what Job is saying? He said, even in my righteousness, I refuse to allow my hands to become dirty, get involved with stuff that's not going to honor God. Can I say amen? So we have to hold on to God, regardless to what we are going through. Amen? So you got to know what? Hold on. That means that's a faithful relationship. Holding on to God means, you know what, I have trials, but I can't turn my back to God.
Amen.
I have disappointments, but I cannot turn my back on God. I have letdowns. But I heard the Bible say that God cannot be tempted with thee, and neither tempted thee any man with thee. Said, well, you don't understand the condition that I'm in. He said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And then after you get full of lust, after lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And then when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Well, then God, no. Because God cannot tempt us with evil. So some allow the devil to play in our mind. Amen. And let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to read verses 7 and 9. Then we get back to the what kind of relationship? A relationship that cleaves to God.
Amen.
A faithful relationship. Amen. Just like the relationship between a husband and wife. The wife shouldn't have to watch the husband, and the husband shouldn't have to watch the wife because they are faithful. They have to be faithful. Well, how faithful? They mock. That means you have to cleave to one another. Amen? Don't allow anything to come between you and that relationship. Verse 7 reads, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and
cleave
to his wife, and they twain shall be
one flesh.
So then they are no more twain but
one flesh.
This is the kind of relationship that we have to develop with the Lord. It's no longer God and me, but it's one. You read the 4th month of Ephesians, all it talks about is one. One law, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit, right? We're supposed to be
one.
Amen. What therefore God has
joined together
that no man put together. So important that we get these scriptures down. Ephesians 5, verse 30. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we are all one. How many bodies are in Christ?
One.
It might be different churches, but we're still one body. How many spirits are in Christ?
One.
This shows the type of relationship that we should have with Christ. It should be everything ought to be one. Not him and me, not them and myself, but we ought to be
one.
Paul said, when one suffer,
we all suffer.
When one rejoice, the church ought to be one.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'm a holy God. I can't. No, we can't do that. We ought to be
one.
Ephesians 5:34, we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bone. For this cause, if a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. It says, this is a
great
you talk about the husband and wife. How does Christ and the church come into this great mystery? This is a great mystery that we concern in Christ. Were you just talking about a husband and wife being
one?
Now we're talking about Christ and the
church
being
one.
You got to cleave to God.
Amen.
Amen. Just like a husband and wife are supposed to cleave to each other, so does the church cleave to Christ.
Amen.
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 And we can't allow anything to put us aside. Nothing should come. So it's you can read more of this. I just didn't have time to use all those scriptures above it and below. But read that. It says, wait a minute, just like Christ is the head of the church, and man is the head of the woman, and man is submission, but all that is figuratively showing Christ and the church is
one.
And that's the kind of relationship we should have with God. It should be one. Nobody should have to make us want to pray, because I want to speak to the one I'm in relationship with.
Amen.
Paul said that I may know him. Right? Not in an extemporaneous and a distant way, but I want to know him in an intimate way. He said that I may know him and the power of his of his suffering. Paul said, I just want to be one with God. Amen. So it's so important to tonight. It's a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. But what little things have caused you to go asunder? Asunder means it means to separate. It means to split. It means to drift away from God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, know that when we are married, we are bound by the law to one another. How? By the law. So tonight, we want to be faithful unto the end. I know today, marriage is taking a little different shape today. It takes a little different shape, because today is marriage to some people like clothes and shoes. If you put it on and don't fit like you want to fit, you can do what? That's not how it was from the beginning. God never intended for marriage to be that way. Yes, there are difficulties, there are challenges, right? But you're supposed to be faithful
till the end.
Don't, as a woman, don't allow some man to sweet talk you and say, oh, you're better than a husband. That's not God. Faithful until the
end,
and vice versa, right? If nobody watching you, I'm still
faithful.
Amen. Amen. Don't you allow people to get between you and your relationship.
Amen.
Because if you allow them to get between you and your relationship with your spouse, you will also allow them to get between you and your relationship with your God.
Amen.
Because you are
one.
And you're going the wrong direction. I will still keep going. Because we need to be bound with God like we're bound to our spouse. Yes, well, I didn't know you were going to be like this, but God can take all the crooked stuff and make it straight if you do right. Right? Amen?
Amen?
Because we are bound to each other and we no longer are. And I don't get involved with a whole lot of stuff with that two stuff, right? I'm just going to say that. You're what? One. No, I like that. Listen. All right. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. So we got to stay with God. Don't let nothing come between you and the Savior, right? We're all one. A lot of people will walk with God and they're not walking with their spouse. You don't walk with God. Just tell them like it is. You cannot be one with God and not walk in harmony with your spouse. Because he compared the husband and wife to what? Christ and the church. Well, you don't know, and you don't know. If Jesus said it this way. He said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. All right. So yeah, a whole lot of us got some stuff following us up. But if they have changed, if they're trying to do better, don't hold their past against them. That's ugly in the sight of God. You know, sometimes when we get angry, make up a lie. That's scary. That's right. Y'all scared of it. That's right. Too quiet. You know, sometimes you get mad with each other and you bring up stuff from yesteryear. That ain't God. Alright? That ain't God. Because you two are supposed to be. If I have my way, you don't have your way. We're supposed to have whose way? God's way. I know y'all ain't gonna talk. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say it. I don't work. Y'all should know by now, I don't preach to favoritism. I ain't gonna preach to y'all to be disobedient to God. Hey, God ain't gonna beat me. Right? I'm gonna say what he has to say. Come on, say, you ain't gonna never have a church. I have a church that's had to know the truth. Because a lot of people in church, but they're not in God.
Yes.
A lot of people come to church, but God, how did God say I never believe? Right? How did we read earlier and say, you have not known my ways? Well, why not? Because we walk contrary. Right? So that's good enough. I ain't gonna mess with that too much, all right? So what happened yesterday is when?
Yesterday
is what? And Paul gave us the best commandment about yesterday. What did he say about yesterday? Forgetting. And don't let the devil tempt you. Right? Don't let the devil tempt you when something ain't going your way. You've been like this? Wrong. That's ugly. That ain't God. Don't resurrect somebody's past. You know, sometimes when you want to resurrect somebody else's past, you might want to take a peek.
Yes.
You don't want to look at your past too long, but you're going to mess up. So every once in a while, you may want to take a peek at the past. Wait, I can't talk about too much. When I peek, it looks bad.
Yes.
If I look at my past, all right, let's go. So now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. That's enough for you to leave yesterday and stay. Stop resurrecting all of that stuff that God covered under the blood. Jesus said, your sins and iniquity, I don't remember them
anymore.
What in the world are all the folks in church? Why do you remember some of this stuff? God don't remember, right? Because we're in the covenant relationship. We should be. Well, Galatians 5, verse 5 reads, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness now by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision develops anything nor uncircumcision, but faith. How do you faith? But faith working by love. Right? Faith don't work by ugly, mean, nasty. Faith working by love.
wouldn't call you that like that. You just want to be true. Guilty. Why are you being split asunder? Why are you withdrawn from God? Faithful to the end. He said, now remember a little leaven will do what? It'll mess up the whole lot. Amen. Now let's go to, I gotta go fast because I've only got less than 10 minutes. So let's go to Psalm 78. We're gonna read Psalm 78 and we'll close in Romans 8:31. Alright? Because Romans 8:31 tells us don't let nothing separate us. Don't let nothing what? Separate us. They say, what kind of relationship? Don't let nothing separate us. Psalm 78, verse 1 reads, Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will love our sins of old, which we have heard and so wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something. Which you have heard is already known. You already know it, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from there. It's important to teach our children. Amen. Showing to the generation of praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Let us show God has already done. For He established a testimony in. Got a testimony. You got to remember that. And appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children who should be born, who should arise, and declare them to their children. They might set their hope in God and not forget. Don't forget what God has done, amen, but keep His commandment. And might not be as their father. But what was on their father? They were a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that did not sit there. Listen, the only thing God sees about you and our brothers and sisters is our hearts. He's not interested. Now we don't need to be careless and sloppy and different, but God looks at our heart. That's the real us. Amen. He did not set their heart right. And whose spirit was not? They were faithful. That was the whole ending. That's the whole thing. They were faithful. You can read the rest of that on your own. But now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Amen. Verse 31. So we're faithful now. And being faithful, we won't allow anything to nothing will. Don't let nothing come between you and God. Don't allow people to come between you and God. Amen. So he said, what shall we then say to these things? God. I mean, listen, if you know God is for you, don't listen to a whole lot of God. If God be for you, who then be? Amen. So I've heard lots of this. Don't make a difference to me.
Amen.
All the things I'm going to say, God is with us. Amen. Let's get down to verse 33. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also made it. Why are you worried about all the people who don't talk with God sitting on the right hand and talk to God and intercede for you? Likewise, the Spirit also does not our spirit and firm us, for we know not what to think about you. But the Spirit also makes it. So when you pray in the Spirit, Christ is also on the right hand to see for you. Why are you worried about what people say? We allow people to put us in a bad spiritual state, spiritual mind. Amen. He's making intercessions for us. Say, who shall separate us? This word separate is the Greek word chorizo, chorizo. You know what I mean? Who's putting something asunder? He's going back to the marriage relationship. Chorizo means to go asunder. It means to separate. Says, so you're married to God, why are you allowing something to separate? Why are you allowing a chorizo? Why are you allowing something to put you asunder? To put asunder means it separates. It pushes you apart, right? So he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That separate, once again, is talking about not the natural relationship, but the marriage relationship. We are married to God, which means we should be faithful
until the end.
Everybody out there, how many, what part of the marriage vows is still death? Do us part. There are extenuating circumstances, but they should be far few in between. Right? Because nothing should be a separation. Nothing should be a chorizo. So in comparing our relationship to God, we go back to the marriage relationship. Amen? It says, shall tribulation. So our marriage is going through some stuff. God is still with it.
Amen.
Keep on fighting. Because nothing should chorizo. Nothing should separate. Nothing should put you asunder because you are married to God and the two of you are now
one.
Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of war. As it is written, for thy sake we have killed. God is allowing you to go through that, not to kill you, but to kill some stuff in you.
Amen.
The Bible says, Paul said, should break nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to
separate
Jerusalem. Can't come between.
Amen.
The what? Love of
God.
It's a relationship. Love to the right, love one another. Saints love God. Not to should separate us. Why? Because we want to be faithful. All right, there's more stuff, but that's good enough. I think we got the gist of it. That's all said. How many have purpose? They're going to be faithful to God. Heavenly God, trust from the beginning till the end. He had, God gave heaven. Help me to have that kind of testimony. Help me to have that kind of spiritual resume. Nobody before God. How much do we trust God? Amen. What things have we allowed to come between us and God? He said nothing should be able to Teresa come between. It means to split, it means to separate, it means to push you apart. What is pushing you away from God instead of pulling you to God as we all stand? Tonight, we should be purpose in our hearts, the elders and ministers and all the work that's come forward. We should purpose in our hearts, faithful until the end. Amen. Being confident in this one thing, the Bible said. Listen, confident in this what? One thing. That he that begun a is able to perform it until the end. Who's your confidence in? Now, I tell you why a lot of people are messing up because their confidence in their husband, their friend, their body, their house, their job. Your confidence has to be in who? God. If your confidence is anything else, you don't have the right covenant relationship with God. It's all about pleasing God and hearing him say, well done.